Well, tonight's message come about from me reading two articles. One by a preacher named Henry Mahan, and also one by a missionary evangelist named Miles McKee. And these two articles were set before me by two dear brothers. Jacob at West, he set before me the message by Brother Henry, and then Marcus mentioned the Wednesday Word, which we all get in our email boxes. And I went and read that, and I thought, man, I got to blend these two things together and preach the gospel on this. This is just amazing. Tonight's message is called The Sinless One. The Sinless One. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the sent, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He is God incarnate in the flesh. He is the second person of the Trinity, sent to redeem his people from their sins. And he's done it. He's done it. Again, I preach a work that's already been done, and there's nothing we have to do with it. It's all what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But in order to be our Savior, he must be sinless, right? Because if anyone has sin, they can't save anyone from their sins. That's why we can't save ourselves and we can't save anyone else, because we are sinners to the core. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was absolutely sinless. Sinless in nature, sinless in being, sinless in deed, sinless in speech, sinless in thought. Now that's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? Because we are sin. And everything we do, whether it be good or bad, is tainted with sin. And even right now, we are but saved sinners, aren't we? But praise God, we're saved sinners. Praise God, he saved our souls. Oh my. Look at this. In 1 John chapter 3. I love this first verse. We're going to read from verses 1 to 5. But look at this. Behold. This is something we should behold. What manner of love. Now think of this. This is an everlasting, unchanging love. Eternal love. That love spoken of there, the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's an unchanging love. We change all the time. This love never changes, beloved. Never. He's bestowed upon us by his divine favor and according to his grace and mercy, and more important, according to his will, that we should be called the sons of God. Sinners, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It didn't know Christ, did it? The world despised and hated Christ, and it will do so to his people too. Beloved, now look at that. Divinely loved ones. Beloved. Remember in our study of this chapter? Divinely loved ones. Divinely loved ones. How long? From eternity. Loved by a divine love. Not a love, earthly love, but by a divine love. We talked about that yesterday. That unchanging, never, never, ever ceasing love. Perpetual. It's eternal, right? Remember what eternal life was in the Greek? Was perpetual life? This love is a perpetual love. It's not based upon us. It's based upon the God who loves us. And the scripture declares of the God who loves us that he does not change. He's the same what? Somebody tell me. and forever, right? Yeah, yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He's unchanging, isn't he? He does not change. This love never changes. Beloved, divinely loved ones, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, we're going to glory, beloved. That's where your dad is. Yes, Sister Kathy, yeah. Amen. Look at that. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So if we're alive still when he comes, we're going to see him as he is. But we're going to see him as he is even at our death, aren't we? Oh, man. It's wonderful. I'll tell you. Look at this. In every man that hath this hope in him, do you have this hope? Do you have this hope in Christ? Oh, if you don't, I pray God will give it to you. I pray he gives you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, look at this. And every man and woman we know that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. Now the love of Christ now constrains us from sin, doesn't it? People say, well, why? You could just, if I believe like you, I'd just go out. No, you wouldn't. You would not walk out that door and do whatever you want. No, you wouldn't. Because of, amen. The Holy Spirit won't allow it. He'll convict us, right? And the love of Christ constrains us. We're new creatures, beloved, in Christ. Look at this. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. Well, we're lawbreakers, aren't we? Right? For sin is the transgression of law. Look at this. Look at this. This verse is a mountaintop. And you know, this is something God's people know now. We've been taught this by the Holy Spirit of God. And you know that he was manifested. Why did he come into this world? Amen. And this text says here, to take away our sins. Nailed to the cross, beloved. Gone in God's eyes. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at this. And in him is no sin. None. He is the sinless one. The scripture declares it right there. Note the text. No sin. No original sin. No actual sin. No inherent sin. Marvel at this. He is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God sent by the Father. And he's sent to die, isn't he? That's why he's sent. He's sent to redeem us. Brother Brian, he's sent to do what we could never do. Save us from our sins. And he did it, brother. Praise God, he did it. Oh, it's finished. It's done. And he's God incarnated in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this scripture declares there's no sin in him. No sin done by him, because he's the only, do you remember the fit man in the Day of Atonement that would take away the scapegoat? Christ is the only fit man to save us from our sins. He's the lamb, he's the scapegoat, he's the lamb that was slain, he's the priest that offered him, he's the altar, he's the scapegoat, he's the fit man. He's everything for us, beloved. Oh, it's one. I get so excited putting this message together today. This is just, he is the sinless one, and he died for us. He died for us, beloved. He answered the typical sacrifices under the law. All those typical sacrifices pictured him. They all pictured him. They're the shadows, right? Remember what we talked about before when someone walks around, before they walk around the corner, sometimes if the sun's right, you can see their shadow before they come? See, all those Old Testament sacrifices were the shadow. And then here he comes. There's the substance. So, Brian, if you were coming around the corner here and I was in front and I saw your shadow first, I'd know you coming. And then there you are. The shadow's not, that's just the shadow. And then there's my brother. Isn't that amazing? So all those Old Testament sacrifices were just shadows. Just that. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Oh, my. Oh, my. He's God incarnate in the flesh. Again, he has no sin. Our sin, and think of this, too. Our sins were imputed to him, and he's still sinless. He's still sinless, beloved. He paid our debt in full. My. Our sins are imputed to him, and he's sinless. The scriptures declare this. How do we know this? Because the scriptures declare this. Look at Hebrews 4:15 to start. And then we'll go to Hebrews 7, and then we'll go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 4:15. We're going to see he offered himself up without sin. Look at this. First of all, it says here, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet, look at that. What's it say? Without sin. Sinless. Sinless perfectly in his lives. Absolutely sinless. Not one sin. Then look at Hebrews 7, verses 25 and 26. My, oh my, look at this. You know why Christ is able to save us? Let's see right here. Hebrews 7, 25 and 26. Wherefore he is able. Brother Dave, he's able. We're not able, but he is able. Look at this. He's able also to save them to the uttermost. It don't matter how black our sin is. If you come to Christ, you'd be made whiter than snow. I'm telling you. You think of the worst thing that a human can do to another human or just in, and he can make us whiter than snow. Come. Come, sinner friend, and join the rest of our saved sinners. You'll find mercy in Christ, the forgiveness of all your sins. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Look at this. He's able to save to the uttermost. Save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. See, the only way we can come to God is through Christ Jesus our Lord. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, for such an high priest became us. He's fully God and fully man. Who is what? Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He walked amongst us sinners, and yet he's separate from sinners. Why? Because he's the sinless one. And yet he's touched. Remember that one we just looked at? He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, yet without sin. Oh, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Now turn, if you would, to Hebrews 9:28. Now this one, we are going to see something here. Do you know that when Christ offered himself up before God, when he was bearing our sins, he was absolutely sinless? Couldn't be our Savior, right, Zane, if he wasn't sinless? Yeah? Why? Look at this. This verse is outstanding, beloved. Look at this. So Christ was once. He offered himself up once, beloved. Offered to bear the sins of many. Not all, but many. A number that no man can number. And don't we as God's people say, praise God, I'm in that number. Hallelujah, I'm in that number. Oh my. I didn't do anything to get in there. It's by God's grace and mercy that I'm one of those. Oh. So bear the sins of many. Bear them. They're laid upon him, beloved. Imputed to him. And unto them that look unto him, he shall appear for the second time without sin unto salvation. Oh my. The verse I was looking for was, he will offer himself up without sin. I put the wrong cross reference in there, but that's okay. This one was still really good, wasn't it? Do you see what we're seeing here? He's sinless. He's spotless. He's the Lamb of God. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was without sin shows that he did not offer himself up for his own sins. He had none. So who was he offering up himself for to God? And remember, he offered himself up to God. God is the one who must be satisfied. He offered himself up as a sacrifice for our sins to God the Father. My. My, oh my. He's sinless. So he's offering himself up for somebody's sins, isn't he? Well, they're called the elect of God in the Scriptures. They're called his sheep in Scriptures. They're called beloved in Scriptures. I love that word. Beloved of God. Oh my. Oh my. You know why he did it? You know why he did it? Because we are sin-sick sinners. And we can't cure ourselves. So what does a great physician do? He offers himself up as a ransom for our souls. Remember a few years back I preached the pandemic of sin? Right? It was during COVID, and I preached on the pandemic of sin, and I said, there's been a pandemic of sin for 6,000 years. And it has 100% kill rate. And the only one who can cure it, the pandemic of sin, is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a heart transplant, we need a nature transplant, and we need blood to cover us, don't we? And that all comes from the Lord, doesn't it? Isn't it glorious? My, oh my. So marvel at the fact that nothing done by us could atone for our sins, but the blood and sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless man. God incarnate in the flesh, the innocent one, right? He's the innocent one. He's totally innocent. And yet he offers himself up to the Father for guilty, hell-deserving sinners like you and I. That's mercy, isn't it? That's grace. My, oh my, it's wonderful. And also the fact that he was a divine person. He's the God-man. Remember, separate from sinners? He's God in the flesh. And yet where was he? Where, Brother Dave? He was right where we would be. He was with the publicans and sinners. And them old Pharisees all over, what's he doing eating with those? And you could hear, what's he eating with those scum? Well, that's what people would have considered me before the Lord saved me. Yeah, he came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to save the sick. Not the whole. People who don't think they need Christ, they're the whole mentioned in that scripture. But we, sin-sick sinners, who've been showing our desperate need for Christ. Oh my, we just flee to our King. Lord, I'm a sin-sick sinner, save me! Save my soul! Save my soul, I can't save myself. Oh, but you can save. You can save. You can save to the uttermost all who come to God by you. Oh my, I cast myself on your mercy and your grace. Right? Oh my, what a Savior. What a redeemer. That he should take away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. This is the great love that constrains believers to not go out and do whatever we would do. This is what constrains our hearts, beloved. That love we have for Christ. We still struggle with sin, but I'll tell you what. Imagine what we'd be like without the restraining hand of God. I don't even want to think about it. Oh, he's so merciful. Now turn, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to see here. The scripture declares again the sinlessness of our wonderful Savior. You know, he did no sin. There was no sin in him, we saw. Now we're going to see he did no sin. None at all. Everything we do is tainted with sin. And here's the Lamb of God, born of a virgin, the seed of the woman, just like was prophesied in Genesis. And here he is. Look at this, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 to 25. Speaking of Christ, look at this. Who did no sin. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. So that's plainly declared he did no sin. He's sinless. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. What would we do when someone's reviling against us? We get madder than a wet hornet, don't we? We do. Oh, he didn't at all. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him or committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self, now Peter can tell us what he did, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. They were imputed to him, beloved, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. That's his righteousness. By whose stripes you were what? Healed. Sin-sick sinners, healed. That's a spiritual healing there, beloved. Oh, my. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now, and we know this is by the grace of God and grace of God alone, returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because it pleased God to do so. Oh, my. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. Now we know from what we just read, he offered himself up holy, sinless, spotless. Right? He wasn't defiled. He was sinless in his life. He was sinless in his death. And our sins were imputed to him, and he bore everything that God demanded for our sins. The wrath of God for our sins fell upon him. And he cried those wonderful words we love to hear. It is finished. Now let's look at these verses here. Look at verse 20 to 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did besiege you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin, that's imputation, beloved. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, right? Look at that. It still states that he knew no sin. He's the sinner's substitute. He's God. God can't sin. He can't even, yeah. And so here we see. So by imputation, our sins are imputed to him, right? For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, what? The righteousness of God. I call that the great transfer. Our sins are imputed to Christ. His righteousness is imputed to us. Oh, my goodness. And we're declared not guilty. Pardoned. Washed by the blood of Christ. That's good news. Isn't it? That's the best news I've ever heard. Oh, it's wonderful. And notice that verse 21 does not merely say that he did no sin, but that he knew no sin. He knew no sin. He may have been acquainted with grief, but he had no acquaintance with sin. I preached a message a while back called The Impeccable One. The impeccability of Christ. He couldn't sin. He's God. God can't sin. He's the God-man. He's tempted as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that amazing? Oh my. This is wonderful. Look at this. The Christ whom we love and serve is the Christ of the Scriptures, right? No other will do. We want no other Savior but Christ. He's a Redeemer. When he redeems, he redeems. When he atones, he atones. He's God. He's God. Turn, if you would, now to John chapter 14. Oh, my. So the Scriptures we see there show us that Christ was absolutely sinless. And what do we say? The Word of God says it, and that settles it. People used to say, well, and I believe it, so that settles it. No, let's just leave us out of the picture, right? The Word of God says it, that settles it. Right? There's nothing else. Nothing else. We just take Scripture as what it says. So the Scriptures we've seen tells us that Christ was absolutely sinless. Absolutely sinless. Do you know that Christ even preached his absolute sinlessness? Now who's speaking, right? God in the flesh. Look at this, John chapter 14. This is wonderful. Look at this. Verses 28 to 31. We'll read the context of it all. "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." Now, where the head goes, the body soon falls, right? So every member of Christ who dies in this world absolutely goes right up to glory where our King is. And now, I've told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you." Look at this. "For the prince of this world," that's the devil. But look what says, "cometh and hath" what? "Nothing in me." The devil comes and he can't find a foot in me because I'm sinless. Now he could come to you and I before the Lord saves us and finds all kinds of stuff, right? Now we're washed under the blood. He can still come accuse us before the Father, can't he? Because we're still sinners, right? Look at that guy. Look at that fellow. He's under the blood. You leave him alone. He's under the blood. Oh, my. But look at that. "The prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me." Nothing. Why? Because he's sinless. He's declaring here his sinlessness. But "that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so do I do. Arise, let us go hence." But look at verse 30 again. "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." There's no sin which the devil can accuse him of. Not even the demons. Do you know the demons? Do you know they themselves proclaimed that he was the Holy One of God? What does that mean? That means he's the sinless one. He's holy. He's undefiled. Remember that verse in Hebrew we looked at? Listen to this. Those demons coming out of the Gadarenic demoniac, we said, "We know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And they were terrified, weren't they? They were. And he says, "Quiet." And can they say another word after he says that? Nope. Get in those sheep. Or get in those hogs. Oh my. And them hogs went right over a cliff, didn't they? You know why they wanted him out of that country now? There goes all their profits. There goes all their money. Them Jews weren't supposed to be selling hogs, were they? They weren't even supposed to be raising hogs. Somebody wanted some bacon on the side, didn't they? Oh my. We love bacon, don't we, Zane? Zane and I love bacon. We ask each other when we go up, "Are you going to eat that?" I'm so thankful I can eat whatever I want. Aren't you, beloved? Oh, my. My, oh, my. You know, twice Pontius Pilate, I'll give you the text if you want to turn there again, John 19:4 and then John 19:6. Yeah, let's turn there. John 19:4. You know, twice Pilate declared Christ's sinlessness, his innocence. John 19, look at verse 6. "When the chief priests therefore and the officers came to him," that's Pilate, "and cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And he didn't just do it once. Look at verse 4. "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." He couldn't find anything in him. Remember his wife even? His wife said, "Don't have anything to do with this man. He's a just man." That means he's just. He's good. He's not an evil man. She'd been warned in a dream. Oh, my. And what did Judas Iscariot say? He said, "I betrayed innocent blood." Declaring his sinlessness too. He was mourning over the fact that he had betrayed our God, our great God and Savior, for 30 pieces of silver. You know that's the price of a slave in Israel? My, oh my. Remorse grips Judas's soul, and he hurls the silver pieces at the feet of the hypocritical high priest. And he says, I betrayed innocent blood, and he went and hung himself. And then we got the thief on the cross. Turn, if you would, to Luke 23. Luke 23. The thief on the cross. Remember those thieves when they started out? They're both railing on our king. That's what we do in our natural state, right? Just rail on our king. Look at this, Luke 23:41. Here's that something happened to this other thief now. And he's not good, is he? He's a dead dog sinner. And listen to what he says. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly? Oh, the Holy Spirit's showing this man he's a sinner. And think of this too, the law's already condemned them, hasn't it? The law has found them guilty. And now they're dying according to what the law demands. Is death. Yes, brother. Amen. Yeah. But let's keep reading, because it don't end there, does it? For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath what? Amen, brother. He proclaims the sinlessness of Christ. He'd not done anything wrong. He'd not done anything amiss. Who showed him that, beloved? The same Holy Spirit that shows us that Christ is the sinless Savior. The same Holy Spirit that regenerated us is the same Holy Spirit that regenerated that man on the cross. He didn't walk no aisle. He didn't pray no prayer. He didn't get baptized. He didn't join a church. Right? The Lord snatched him as a brand out of the fire. And the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And we know he's in glory right now. Oh my. We're going to see him one day. We're going to see him one day. Now, contrast the sinlessness of Christ with we who are sinners. So we've seen the sinlessness of Christ. And then the scripture declares of us in Romans chapter 3:23 that every man, woman, and child born of Adam have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't save ourselves. We can't save anyone else either. We've all come short of the glory of God. You know, a famous Englishman, I didn't know this until I read Miles' article, a famous Englishman named Sir James Simpson, he was the one who discovered the use of chloroform, which they used to use quite a bit in the 1800s. And by his discovery, he revolutionized surgery in the medical field. And he was known as a giant in the history of medicine. But you know what he said? He was asked by one of his students what he considered to be the most valuable discovery of his lifetime. I love this. He said, my most valuable discovery was when I discovered myself a sinner and that Jesus Christ was my Savior. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That's the most valuable discovery I've ever made. We can say amen to our dear brother, can't we? Oh my. Amen. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling on us, beloved of God, we have revealed to us that we're sinners in desperate need of a Savior. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We see our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 2. We see our Lord Jesus Christ here. He's talking to some Pharisees. In verse 16, it says, And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with publicans and sinners, well, he's eating with us. Not, we're publicans and sinners, aren't we? He's eating with fellow people just like you and I, beloved, before the Lord saved us even. He's eating with publicans and sinners. And them Pharisees, they're matter of what. Praise God, he's eating with publicans and sinners. Aren't you thankful? Because we're just a bunch of sinners. Oh, I love it. I just love it. I love how our Lord was. Oh, my. I just love it. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, and you know, you can just hear the vehemence, the disgust in their voice, right? How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? You just hear the disgust, because they thought they were lower lives. The publicans, man, they hated them because they worked with the Roman government. They hated them. And then there were a bunch of other sinners that are just hanging out with, you know, you're talking prostitutes and drunks and whatever, you know, and there he is eating with them. Common people, just like you and I. God's people. Oh, look at this. Oh my, let's go up a little bit further to verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and the multitude resorted to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi. He's going to call Levi here, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. Boom. What happens? He arose and followed him. There's an irresistible power and call of God, beloved. Oh my. That's my sheep. Come, follow me. That's what he said. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? That's what he does with you and I, beloved. Oh, my. Oh. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And that verse I just read, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Oh, I could just see that scrawl on their face. Eh? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need. See, these publicans or these Pharisees, they didn't think they needed a Savior. They thought they were good. Self-righteous, brother. Pride and self-righteous is a killer, right? Yeah. Well, look at this. They that are whole have no need of physician, but they that are sick, are you sin sick? Oh, I need a Savior, don't you, Dave? We need Christ, don't we? Oh, top of the head to the bottom of our feet, right? Oh, my. And everything in between, eh? Oh, but we have a great physician. He saved our souls. Oh, look at this. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, how good is our great God. How good is our great God, beloved? And the first thing we are to realize is that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And what does Jesus Christ, who does he save? He only saves sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous. Christ came to save sinners, beloved. And praise God, the Holy Spirit, one of the first things he does is he's drawn us to Christ as real that we're just sin-sick sinners, doesn't he? Oh, my. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Salvation. Do you know salvation in Christ is for the guilty? God, be merciful to me, the sinner, right? The publican said. My, oh, my. You know, salvation in Christ is for the sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, are you? Right? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, I came to save sinners. Oh my. People say, well, you think you're holier now. No, you don't know me, man. I'm worse than anyone out there. Right? Doesn't Paul say, along with us, I'm the chief of sinners. We're the worst, aren't we? But God saved us. Praise his mighty name. And salvation is Christ in Christ is for the lost. Are you lost? Has God shown you you're lost and in desperate need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, I pray he does. And salvation in Christ is for the ungodly. That's what we are. That's what Scripture calls us by nature, the ungodly ones. But now that we've been born again, we're the sons of God, as we saw over there in 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love has been shown to us, bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that wonderful? And salvation in Christ is wonderful news for the sinner who's being drawn to Christ and for the born-again believer who's still just a saved sinner. It's the most wonderful news we're here. We hear bad news all day long and all week long, don't we? But I'll tell you what. Why do we keep coming to hear this wonderful news? Tell me again. Tell me again about my Savior who saved me from my sins. Tell me the good news of Christ. The only sacrifice for sin, the sinless sacrifice, God incarnate in the flesh. Now here's a question for all who will listen to this message. What about your sins? What about your sins? Have you trusted in the crucified one, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the only Savior of sinners? Our prayer is that you will. By God's grace, has the thought of your sins ever pierced you? Someone says, no, I'm not that bad of a sinner. I know a lot worse people than me. Well, you haven't had revealed to you your sinfulness then. Because there's none good, no, not one. And also, when someone says that, they're calling God a liar. When someone says, I'm not that bad of a sinner, well, the Scripture says this, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sins not, Ecclesiastes 7:20. Oh, one may think that they're not too bad, but I'll tell you what, God can't accept you on any of your deeds or any of mine. And he won't accept me even on my own deeds. But he accept me in Christ, the crucified one, who I trust my eternal soul upon. My, oh my. And God's verdict in this case is that we all desperately need a Savior. Guilty. The whole world is guilty before God, whether people believe it or not. Have you ever thought why your relatives who love you and enjoy your company and they have no interest in the gospel? My two brothers have no interest in the gospel. None. When we get together, they don't even want to talk about me being down here. You know why?
Ambassador of Christ.
That's right. Yeah, they have no interest and no desire to talk about Christ. Well, you know why? Because they don't think they're sinners. They do not believe they're sinners. Even though the Scripture declares them sinners, they don't believe they're sinners. See, we who are the people God had revealed to us that we're sinners. Praise God, he didn't leave us where we were. Oh, my. And do you wonder why older people are all, who are religious, they talk about going to heaven, they talk about seeing their family and their friends, but they never talk about Christ? Who do we want to see in glory? Amen. Praise your name, Lord God.
Face to face.
Who saved me from all my sins. That's who we want to see. That's who we want to see our Savior. We want to look upon the hands that were pierced and the feet that were pierced and the side that was pierced. Oh my. And he still wears his wounds, beloved. As a reminder to us. Oh, what it cost. But we will sing glory to the Lamb that was slain. Amen. Glory to his name. My, my, oh my. Do you ever notice too that some preachers never raise the question, the most important question too, of how can a man be just before God? Well, they don't think they're sinners, beloved. But see, we know we're sinners, so we have to say, how can a man be just before God? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. Only in the crucified one, beloved. And if you wonder out there, if you're listening and you think, how can a holy God forgive me? A blackened sinner. You don't know what I've done. Well, you don't know what I've done either. You don't know what I thought. Right? Our thoughts are enough to send us to hell, aren't they? Let alone our deeds and our words and our actions. But how merciful is our God that he washes away all the sins so that the handwriting ordinance that was against us, beloved, is gone. Gone. God sees us in Christ, brother. He sees us in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. So how can a man be just before God? Only in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone. That's it. There's no other way. No other way. How can a holy God forgive and receive an unholy sinner and still be holy and still be just? Only in Christ, beloved. Only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect, complete, sin-atoning work on Calvary's cross. My. You know why most preachers don't preach salvation by grace alone and through Christ alone and through his blood and righteousness alone? Because they don't think they're sinners. Only sinners need apply for such great mercy. Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm a sinner from head to toe. Oh, my. We who are the redeemed of the Lord have had revealed to us that we are great sinners in need of a great Savior. And what's that great Savior's name? The Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, beloved, to redeem our eternal souls. Oh, so what have we seen in this study? Well, we see that, number one, Jesus Christ himself declared his own sinlessness, right? Number two, the devil declared Christ sinless because he come, had nothing in him, can't find anything in him, right? Pilate declared Christ's sinlessness. He said, I find no fault in this man, that being Christ. Pilate's wife declared Christ's sinlessness. She said, have nothing to do with this just man. That's speaking of Christ. Judas Iscariot spoke and declared Christ's sinlessness as he cried out, I betrayed innocent blood. And then the dying thief, one of the Lord's sheep, brand plucked from the fire, declared Christ's sinlessness as he told the other thief who was dying with him that we're here justly. He's declaring the guilt of him and the other thief. And he says, but this man, that being Christ, has done nothing to miss. He's declaring the sinlessness of Christ right there. My, oh my. Turn, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. There's a seventh witness. Those are 6 points there. There's a seventh witness to the sinlessness of Christ. And it's God our Father. As he declared that he's well pleased with our Savior. And if he's well, Brother Brian, if he's well pleased with our Savior, then he must be well pleased with we who are in him, eh? Only in Christ, brother. All those people in the ark, right? Noah and his boys and their wives, right? And his wife, they were all safe. If you're in Christ, you're safe from the wrath to come. Safe from God's wrath. Safe from God's justice and law, which demands satisfaction. But praise be to God for God's people. The justice and law of God has been appeased in the sacrifice of Christ by the shedding of his precious, precious blood to redeem our eternal souls. Look at this, Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 13 and going to verse 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? And remember, Christ is fulfilling all righteousness, right? So everything that God demands, he must do. Okay? And Jesus answering said unto them, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered them. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, singular. Beloved, there you go. Yeah, love from eternity. Oh, wow. In whom I am well pleased. Actually, love from even before eternity. In whom I'm what? Well pleased. Now turn, if you would, to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Now here's something. Peter and James and John, they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. They go up this mountain with the Lord. They don't know what's going to happen to their brother Zane. They have no idea what's going to happen. No idea what's going to happen. So they go up on the top of this mountain with the Lord. Look at this in Matthew 17, verses 1 to 5. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine, and his remnant was white as the light. And behold, man, I'll talk about behold, they'd be shaken in the boots, wouldn't they? Oh my. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter, like all of us do, he's going to put his foot in his mouth here. But yeah, there go I, but for the grace of God, right? We're all Peters, aren't we? All of us. My. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Well, who's the master of Elijah and Moses? Amen, Brother Dave. Christ. Who's our master? Christ. Who's Peter, James, and John's master? Christ. And then our Father sums it up. Well, he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear what Christ has to say. Listen to him. Listen to him. My, oh my. So we've seen both the enemies and friends of Christ declared his absolute sinlessness. And there's no charge that can be brought against him. He's absolutely sinless. He says, the devil comes, got nothing in me. Pilate says, this is a just man. Right? The thief on the cross, dying. Says, we're here justly. We're getting what we deserve. This man done nothing. He done nothing. Oh, marvel at the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in regenerating that man and showing him the truth. Marvel at that. My. And somebody says, well, he didn't have a chance to go knocking on doors and doing all this and doing all that. You know why? Because our fitness is in Christ. It's not in what we do. We're qualified for heaven in Christ, aren't we? Men in religion got it so backwards, they think they're gaining rewards and brownie points with the Lord by doing stuff when it's nothing in his eyes but just awful man's works. Let us just rest in Christ. Let us just rest in the crucified one, who we are going to see one day. Praise his mighty name. Oh my. And the best of Christians will readily confess to have fallen short of the glory of God. But our Savior is meek and lowly, isn't he? Meek and lowly. Think of how low he came to save us. Left the heaven, the glories and splendors of heaven. And he's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. In him was all the fullness of Godhead bodily. And by him we have we see a full disclosure of sinless beauty of holiness. We just saw that at the Mount of Transfiguration. He just unveiled his glory a little bit. My, oh my. And think upon this. Had he been a sinner, he could not have been the sin bearer. Right? A sinner could not become the substitute and surety for other sinners. Which brings us to Calvary. Oh, the wondrous Mount of Calvary, where our great God purchased our eternal souls with the shedding of his blood. And God the Father laid upon him, the Holy One. God the Father laid upon him all the sins of all the elect of all the ages. And he stood before God hanging on that cross. He hung before God on that cross, bearing all our sins and yet sinless. And he cried, when it's all finished, when God's demanded, remember it got dark and black. I don't need to investigate what happened there. That's all God's mysterious workings. Right? And Christ is paying for the price of all the sins of all the elect, a number that no man can number. And then he cries those wondrous words, it's finished. It is finished. It's done. Salvation's accomplished. Oh my! What a wonderful Savior. The sinless Savior. Oh my. Our Lord hung amid all the divine thunder, suffering for our punishment, and yet not a drop of sin ever stained him. He's the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That's our Savior, Brother Dave. That's our Savior, Brother Zane, Brother Brian, and Sister. That's our Savior. He did that for us. He did that for us. Although entirely treated and reckoned as a sinner, although suffering as one, the Lord Jesus Christ was never, ever a sinner. Perfect, spotless, offered himself up without spot and blemish. That's the only way we could be redeemed. No other way. And we say, praise the name of Jesus. Glory be to our great God and Savior. For the wondrous, now think of this. I'm going to close with this. I want you to think about this. Think of the wondrous love, the eternal love that drove Christ to that cross. That drove the sinless one to give his life for sinners. And marvel at this, beloved. Sinners that he's loved from eternity and even before that. Before the foundation of the world. And we get a hold of that. And that can give us a lot of comfort, can't it? Oh, praise his name. Brother Brian, can you close us in prayer?